if they tell you and they're not able to show you,
amen,
don't believe it. But we have heard, and we have seen in his word, and we believe,
yes,
that there is such a day.
Yes.
And there is a place where we can go and spend our eternity, where there will be no crying, there will be no sorrow,
yes,
no more dying.
You
don't have to worry about what you're going to do in the evening time. Don't have to worry about darkness ever coming again.
Man.
One eternal day.
Man.
One eternal day. On this morning, I'd just like to say once again how excited I am and how happy I am, rejoicing that Brother Justin, you know, it's a good thing to be able to talk to a person about God's word, and a good thing to hear about them obeying the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great thing to talk to them about God's word and see them obey the gospel.
Amen.
So that brings me to my topic on this morning. What hinders you from spreading the word? What hinders you from spreading the word? I could have said us very well, right? Because it's all our responsibility.
Amen.
And we're all hindered from time to time. But what hinders you from spreading the word? Talking more about God and less about other things of less importance. That's what we need to remember when we talk about spreading the word of God. Now, you don't have to raise your hand. You don't even have to smile. But do the Cowboys play today? Don't say a word, Brother Simmons. I'm not a fan. I was just wondering. Because we can talk about the Cowboys all day long, and we can even talk about the Cowboys tomorrow after they lose. We can do those things. And we can get some agreements and we can get some disagreements. We can even talk about how much we like to run, Brother Mark. And how much we haven't ran in 2.5 years. We can talk about those things.
Amen.
We can talk about how your wife treats you and how you treat your wife, how she should have hit you with a frying pan. My uncle on yesterday, we was at the Peddler's Mall, and there was a big frying pan on the wall, and he said, "Wonder how much that frying pan is?" And it was right around $20, one of those big iron skillets. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Colbert?
Amen.
One you can fry some fish in and just wipe it down instead of washing it and put it up. We can talk about those things. But how many times do we stop and start talking about God? Interrupt the conversation if you may. I'm not a fan, but have you heard about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? I haven't ran, but let me tell you the race that I am running.
All right.
It's all about God. It's not about you and it's not about me. It's about God.
Amen.
And if we allow people and things to hinder us from spreading the gospel, we're going to be in a world of trouble. And we're going to be in a fire of hell. I want us to understand that. And I want us to understand that there is an opportunity that has been given to each one of us, and we allow these opportunities to pass us by to talk about God's word. In the book of Romans chapter 1 and the verse is 15. You turn in your Bibles to that passage. And I want us to notice here how Paul felt about spreading God's word. In Romans chapter 1 and the verse is 15. You know, Paul had a way of saying things. Had a way of doing things. And here Paul states, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He said, I'm ready. How did he get to the point in his life where he was ready to preach the gospel instead of persecuting those that were members of the Lord's church that had obeyed the gospel? How did he get to this point? He got to this point by being on his way to Damascus on that road and seeing that bright light and hearing the words of our Lord. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And the Lord telling him who he was and telling him what he needed to do and him doing those things. That's how he got to this point. And as he has gotten to this point, he says in verse 16, where many of us need to adopt what he is saying here and start doing it as he has said it, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, how many of you can just take that those two verses there and turn any subject, any conversation that you have with someone, how many of you can take those two verses and make it work for you? How many of you can do that? Next time a bill collector call your house and they got the wrong number. Had to put that out there because bill collectors don't call anybody here. And they have the wrong number. Ask them, do they believe that Jesus is the Son of God? If you haven't never tried that, try it. Try it. You'll be amazed at some of the ones that you can just spark up a conversation with. They're not supposed to because, you know, they say this conversation possibly could be recorded. Let them record you spreading the gospel. For it's going to be recorded in heaven if you do or if you don't. But allow your conversation to be recorded, and those people that go back and review those tapes, they may hear you proclaiming God's word. And who knows? They may obey. They may obey. I've done it. I enjoy doing it, actually, you know. And they don't have the wrong number either when they call my house. But they wish by the time we hang up that phone that they did have the wrong number. And you know, I got to go. No, let me talk to you a little while longer. You want something from me? Let me give you something.
All right.
I learned that from a man that sold us an air purifier. He said, you know, switch the script on them. Talk to them about something that you're interested in. He wasn't interested in God. This man wasn't. He was interested in selling the product that he had. We need to be interested in serving God and spreading the gospel. Now, a lot of times we think that people, that the gospel is not for everybody. We pick and choose who we want to share God's word with. But I want you to understand something. Teaching what's commanded in order to gain results is what God wants us to do. Turn, if you would, to the book of Jonah. To the book of Jonah. And as we look at the life of Jonah, we're not going to go through the whole book, although it's short, but we're not going to go through the whole book. I just want to point out a couple of things here. Jonah was commissioned by God. He was commissioned by God to go to Nineveh. It says in verse 2 of Jonah chapter 1. Verse 2 of Jonah chapter 1. Arise. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Now Jonah hears this message from God. He hears the commission that he has. And Jonah turns and goes in the opposite direction. I'm not going to them. I don't think that they're going to listen to what I have to say. See, it's not for us to decide. God has given us the message to proclaim. It is not for us to say, that man, that woman, that boy, that girl will not obey. They cannot understand what we're talking about. And we're going to get to that in just a moment as well. They're not going to change the way that they're living. They're going to continue to do wrong. But we have it right in front of us. Jonah ran, but when he ran, he found himself in the belly of a great fish. And then Jonah prayed to God. In the belly of the great fish. The Bible says in verse 2 of chapter 2, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. How many times have you not done what you're supposed to do? But yet you cried to God. And God heard your plea, you heard your cry, and he came to your aid. And when he came to your aid, you found that the very thing in which you were supposed to do that you didn't do to get you in the situation that you're in, that God came and he helped you out. And you found that when you opened up the book, the words had not changed. The word was still the same. And this is what Jonah encountered. That God commissioned him a second time and said there in Jonah chapter 3 verse 2, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. This is the attitude of many people today. What hinders them from spreading the word is they say, I have no idea what to teach. I don't know what to say. Jonah didn't have that excuse. God had told him, you preach the message that I bid thee to preach. And what was that message? The message was very, very clear. Very clear. In verse 4 of Jonah 3, as Jonah entered into the city, the Bible says, a day's journey. It was a big city. He said 3 days' journey would take to get across. But 1 day's journey into the city. This is the message that God gave Jonah in order to preach. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Simple message, isn't it? And I want you to understand from the message that Jonah preached is similar to the message that we preach. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. This is the message that we can preach. Mark 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And you know you're going to stand before the judgment seat. And if you have not obeyed that message, you're going to be turned away. But it's not for us to say, who am I to preach to? Where am I to go to preach? Jesus, you go everywhere. You preach to the world. You preach to every nation. And you preach the message that you find in the book that is called the Bible in order for people to be able to obey it. We find in verse 10 of that same chapter there, in chapter 3 of Jonah, for this message that Jonah was preaching, this message was heard. And it says in verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So we've seen results. We've seen men throughout Scripture obey the gospel or obey God's commands in the Old Testament and obey the gospel in the New Testament. And we see results even today when the message is proclaimed. When men and women and boys and girls are able to see what you're talking about and able to go back and search it for themselves to make sure that it's true. And they obey. Brother Malachi obeyed on last week. Brother Justin obeyed on this morning, and we can go back and look at others that have obeyed the gospel, and we're just so excited about that. Because people are believing that there is a God and that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth in order to be crucified, in order that they may understand that glorifying God by the teaching of the truth is done all over the world. Why did Jesus come? Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it teaches us that Jesus came to seek and to save those that are lost. King James said, that which was lost. His people were lost. We have people today that are lost and they need to hear a message in which they can understand in order for them to be found. You know, we lose things on a regular basis. And we search for the things in which we lose. Well, we have some souls that are lost. These souls belong to God, and we need to search for those souls. Amen. And when we find them, we need to teach them God's word. You don't have to go very far. You can walk out the door, and you can look to your left, and you can look to your right, and you see somebody walking down the sidewalk, and ask them, do they know about God? Do they know about Jesus? Do they know about the Holy Spirit? Do they know about salvation? Ask them those questions. And if they say no, you ask them, would they like to know? And if they say yes, be ready. Be ready. For there are so many people that are not ready. And if we do what we're supposed to do, in spreading the gospel and teaching God's word, if we do what we're supposed to do, God will do the rest. Let's look in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the scripture reading that was read earlier. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As Paul writes here, and he tells us that we are supposed to be co-laborers, that we are supposed to be workers together in the kingdom of God. You know, a lot of times we think that it's one man's responsibility to go out and evangelize. Or we think that it's one person's responsibility to go out and to visit the sick. And we think that it's another person's responsibility to do all these other things that we all are supposed to be doing together. Key in on verse 6. Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. The seed needs to be planted. The seed needs to be watered. It's planted and it's watered. There's nothing happening. You know what we need to do? We need to go back and we need to cultivate that soil one more time. We need someone to go back and we need someone to talk to them about God's word again. And all they're really doing is they're watering again. The seed is there. It needs some more water on it. It needs for people to get an understanding out of what they're supposed to do. And then all of a sudden, that man, that woman, that boy, that girl, they say, I'm ready to obey the gospel. And they confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they come and they have their sins washed away in the water grave of baptism. God has given the increase. Acts 2:47 says, praising God in heaven, favor with all the people. The Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. God is giving the increase. Not by a man just said, I believe or I confess or I repent. That's not what's happening. The increase is coming because those individuals have been obedient and they have had their sins washed away in the watery grave of baptism. Then, only then does God give the increase. We go to the book of Acts chapter 2. So we have to, you know, teaching men about sin and telling them what to do to be right with God. It's what it's all about. Oh, we think that it's a horrible thing. It's a sad thing that those people crucified Jesus Christ. But you know, those people that crucified Jesus Christ They were told what they had done. They didn't understand what they were doing. But they were told what they had done, and then they understood it. And when they understood what they had done, they were ready to change. They were ready to fix what they had done. In Acts chapter 2, the verses 36, as Peter is preaching this message unto the people, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. You see God working here. You crucified him. You took him down off the cross and you buried him, and God raised him up on the third day. It says God raised him to make him both Lord and Christ. He's our King. He is the one that we need to look up to. He's the one that we need to reverence. And it says in verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And this is where we fall into this category where we have people asking us all the time, what am I to do with what you're telling me? How can I get my life right with God? How can I rest at night? How can I have peace in my life and know that when I die, I will get into heaven? How can I know these things? How can I, you know, benefit from what you're saying? Peter said in verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, there were several people on that day. That's good, Peter. You're saying something that's really interesting, but I'm yet not going to believe it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be satisfied with what I've done and think that what I've done is right. But verse 41 says that there were some that, they loved what they were hearing. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. When you go to the Sam's Club, I believe the one here will look at your ID before you go in. One in Texas, you can come in and you can shop around all you want. You can even fill up your cart. But when you get to that counter, if you don't have your Sam's Club, you're just going to have to leave what you have right there and walk out the door. That's what many people did on the day of Pentecost. They heard the truth, but yet they left it right there and walked away from it. But 3,000 souls, the Bible says there in verse 41, were added unto their number. Added to the body of Christ. And that's what we say when we look in verse 47. We're talking about these that were added unto the body. These 3,000. It can happen today. We can have men, women that obey the gospel, believe what they hear and gladly receive it and be obedient unto it and be added to the body. You cannot say that you are a member of the Lord's church, the church that Jesus built, without submitting yourselves unto baptism. You cannot be a member of the Lord's church. You cannot be a Christian. This is Bible. It's not how I feel. If it was left up to man, we would say, all you got to do is live a good life and everything will be okay. But it's not left up to man. We have to follow the plan. We have to follow the plan. Well, we have those individuals that pick up the word and they read the word on a regular basis. And as they're reading the word, a lot of times they get stomped on something and they just skip over it. I don't understand it. I'm not going to really try to understand it. But I'm going to go to this next section. And I'm going to read what the scripture says there. What we find in scripture in Acts chapter 8. An Ethiopian eunuch was sitting in his chariot reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit of the Lord, you know, sent Philip by that way. And we find as the Spirit of the Lord sent Philip that way, we find in verse 28. Of Acts chapter 8, in verse 28. making reference to the eunuch, it says, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? You know, Philip could have very well said, you know, Lord, I'm having success right here where I am. These Samaritans are obeying the gospel. This sorcerer has obeyed the gospel. I'm going to stay right here. You know, that's a hindrance sometimes. But we get, you know, comfortable with where we are and who we're studying with, and we're seeing results, and we don't want to go anywhere else. Others need the gospel as well. And Philip did what the Spirit told him to do. And it says in verse 31, he was ready now. In verse 31, it said, and he said, he asked him there in verse 30, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I, in verse 31, except some man guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, when someone invites you to sit down with them to study God's word, are you ready? Can you pick up the Bible that they're using and show them in scripture what they need to do? Or are you one of the ones to say, oh, I'll be back. Let me go get my Bible. You know what we need to put some Bible? We need to put some Bible up here. We need to put some Bible up here because, you know, people are going to ask you questions where you don't have access to a Bible. You may be working at work, and of course, you know we're not supposed to talk about God at work. But someone may say, who is Jesus Christ? They may ask you that at work. What are you going to say? I need to go get my Bible to find out who he is. You need to tell him, you know, he is the Son of God. You ask them a very simple question. You know, again, they like to talk about sports. You ever watch football? You ever see when they pan across the audience? You ever see that sign that people hold up, John 3:16? Ask them that question. And ask them, do they know what that question means? Since they're asking you, who is Jesus Christ? He's the one that God sent his only begotten Son to die for the sins of the world. Tell them that. Explain the scriptures so that they can be understood. That's what Philip did to the eunuch. And the Bible says, as he explained them to him those things, he preached unto him Jesus in verse 35. Preaching Jesus is talking about baptism. How do I know this? I know this because of what we read right here in verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? He had to tell him something about baptism. He had to tell him that Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Amen. That's the message in which he gave to his disciples to teach. And the question that Philip asked, if thou believest with all thine heart, of the statement that he made, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And upon that statement, they didn't keep riding. He commanded the chariot to stand still. And they got down out of that chariot, and both of them went down into the water, and he was baptized. And you know what that did for him? That put him into Christ. He put Christ on. That put him into the church. He was added unto the church. We need to think about it. We need to think about the people that have loved us enough in order to tell us about Jesus, to tell us about God, and in order to tell us what we need to do in order to have salvation. We need to think about that. And we need to do the same. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. Maybe someone has been hindered to tell you about the Word of God, but today we're not going to even claim anything like that. We want to tell you the truth. We want to tell you who Jesus Christ is, what Jesus Christ has done, what you need to do in order to be a part of the family of God. You need to be obedient unto the gospel. You need to come forward as we getting ready shortly to stand and sing the invitation hymn. You need to come forward and make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Surrender all unto him. Paul was told, arise and be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord. Well, back up just a little bit, asking, why are you waiting? Why are you tarrying? arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord in Acts 22:16. We need some people to be obedient unto the gospel. And we need some other people to teach the gospel in order for people to be obedient. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. We want you to come back before it's everlasting too late. We want you to confess your faults. We want you to ask for forgiveness. We want you to repent of your sins. If you're here and you're subject to either one, if you're an alien sinner, you never obeyed the gospel before, we're pleading that you do so. If you're an erring sinner, we're pleading that you come back before it is too late. If you're here and you're subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.